You're listening to Earth First Radio from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm Uncle Dennis. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. And this week we'll have some announcements, and we'll got a few interesting stories about BT, genetically engineered corn, and how that's deadly to monarch butterflies. The macaw whalers of Neo Bay, Washington, make their first, second kills. And lots more animal news, and then we'll head off into news from the United States and the world. In these stories, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information I'm about to give you. Because this is not... And I repeat, is not couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, making phone calls. When you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the road blockades, of course, Earth First Radio can use your help. If you have announcements or news about what's going on in your bioregion, please send it by email to cruzef@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F. @cruzio.com, or send those letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. All right, let's dive into the announcements here. The Forest Guardians will be having their third annual gathering June 4th through 6th at the Elliott Barker Camp in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Participants will discuss wilderness legislation, river protection, public lands grazing, and economic challenges to logging and more. Activities will focus on providing activists with tools to help protect the wildlands of the Southwest. For more information, contact Lolly McHannon. Phone number 505-988-9126. That's Lolly McHannon, 505-988-9126. Or send email to swwild@fguardians.org. That's swwild@fguardians.org. And Kyoto Now is a movement dedicated to ratification of the Kyoto Global Warming Treaty and was initiated by students and faculty at the Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon. Would your organization like to have an informed, motivated intern this summer? Well, you can have one. Kyoto Now has recruited student activists, many of whom would like to be involved with the issue this summer, and American Lands will help you match the students with interested organizations. So call Stu Dahlheim at American Lands, 202-547-9400. That's Stu at 202-547-9400, or Stu at AmericanLands.org. That's S-T-U at AmericanLands.org. Held only once every few years, the 1999 Endangered Species Act Activist Conference is all about effective grassroots action. The 1999 conference will teach you to use both the law and grassroots organizing to maximize endangered species conservation in your region. Conference will be followed by lobbying visits to lawmakers on Capitol Hill and the Clinton administration. You can register at www.stopextinction.org/conference.html. That's www www.stopextinction.org/conference.html or send mail to ESC Conference, 1101 14th Street Northwest, Suite 1400, Washington, D.C., 20005. Once again, that address, ESC Conference, 1101 14th Street Northwest, Suite 1400, Washington, D.C., 20005. Register as soon as you can. The deadline is upon us. And the Ruckus Society's second annual Human Rights Action Camp, it will also be happening in Washington, D.C., May 27th through June 3rd. You'll need to get in touch with them by email. So send that email to ruckus@ruckus.org. That's R-U-C-K-U-S at ruckus.org. Do it as fast as you can because time is short. And the third annual Western Washington Forest Conference starts tomorrow in the CISPA Center in Randall, Washington. That's May 21st through May 23rd at the CISPA Learning Center in Randall, Washington. You better email to demise@pcbp.org. That's Demise, D-E-M-I-S-E, at pcbp.org. Last minute to get to that one. All right, other upcoming events. Let's see, the 9th Annual Heartwood Forest Council is May 29th through the 31st at Traverse City, Michigan, and will take place near the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore at Camp Greilich, just south of Traverse City, Michigan. Get in touch with those folks at murphywildl@aol.com. That's M-U-R-P-H-W-I-L-D-L at AOL.com. Or K-T-E-U-R-K, Katurk, or K-T-U-R-K at EXECPC.com. That's K-T-E-U-R-K at EXECPC.com. You might try a phone number. It might be easier, 248-693-9589. That's 248-693-9589. And also coming up is the Eastern Old Growth Conference, June 10th through 12th in Duluth, Minnesota. It's the 5th Eastern Old Growth Conference, and we'll focus on human impacts. Contact Mary Ann Hellman at mhellman at forestry.umn.edu. That's M-H-E-L-L-M-A-N at forestry.umn.edu. And, all right, that's enough of that. Of course, the Midwest Rendezvous is happening May 21st through the 23rd. Last chance to get to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Folks will be out there in the woods somewhere around the North Forest Earth First office at 748 Algoma Boulevard, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Give them a call, 920-424-0265. That's 920-424-0265. Or email at seac@pobox.uwash.edu. That's seac@pobox.uwash.edu. Other things coming up. June 18th is the National Global Action Against Corporations. Hope you are all set to get together and protest corporate dominance. Once again, June 18th is the day for occupation and transformation of financial districts across the globe. And it corresponds with the first day of the Group of Seven Summit in Köln, Germany. Anyway, if you'd like more information, send email to, well, let's see, that's pretty weird. Anyway, just figure out what you're going to do on June 18th. Email is kind of weird. Are you going to be in Scotland? Maybe you want to participate in the Love of Nature Conference, June 24th through the 28th. Contact the Love of Nature Center for Human Ecology, P.O. Box 1972, Edinburgh, EH11YG, Scotland, or lovenature@clan.com. That's lovenature, all one word, at clan.com. Or you can visit their webpage at www.clan.com/environment/CHE. All right. Well, that's enough announcements for right now. Let's get off into the news. And from Ithaca, New York, the lead story tonight. An increasingly popular genetically engineered commercial corn has pollen which kills monarch butterfly larvae in laboratory tests. According to a Cornell University researcher's report, the corn produces a bacterial toxin to protect against corn pests. Writing in the May 20th journal Nature, the researchers note that this hybrid crop known as BT corn has genes from the bacterium Bacillus thuringiensis spliced into the plant genes. This new gene produces a protein which kills insects after the protein is ingested. But unlike many pesticides, BT corn has been shown to be generally safe for human consumption, although some critics of biotechnology disagree. It has not been shown to have any harmful effect on many non-target organisms, such as pollinating honeybees or beneficial predators, such as ladybugs. But the BT-modified corn produces pollen containing crystalline endotoxins from the bacterium genes. This corn pollen is dispersed by the wind around the cornfields. It lands on other plants, including milkweed, which is the exclusive food of monarch caterpillars. Like all grasses, corn is wind-pollinated, and the pollen can be blown more than 60 yards from the edge of cornfields. Pollen is that yellow dusting your car gets in spring and summer days. The pollen is everywhere, says John Losey, Cornell Assistant Professor of Entomology and the primary investigator of the study. That's why we are concerned about this problem. Monarchs are considered to be the flagship species for conservation. This is a warning bell, says co-researcher Linda Rayer. Monarchs themselves are not an endangered species right now, but as their habitat is disrupted or destroyed, their migratory phenomenon is becoming endangered. In the laboratory test, monarch fed milkweed leaves dusted with so-called transformed pollen from BT corn hybrids ate less, grew more slowly, and suffered a high mortality rate. Nearly half of these larvae died, while all of the monarch caterpillars fed leaves dusted with non-transformed corn pollen survived. And monarch butterflies are feeding on the milkweed during the period when corn is shedding pollen, Losey says. They may be in the right place at the right time to be exposed to BT corn pollen. There's no reason to believe that the genetic modification of BT corn will give rise to adverse effects on animal health for its use in animal feed, concluded the European Union Scientific Committee on Food and the Scientific Committee on Animal Nutrition, or in pesticides. But the potential development of insect resistance to the BT toxin cannot be considered an adverse environmental impact, as existing agricultural means of controlling such resistant species of insects will still be available. But that's certainly not good news for Monsanto. And our other lead story for today is that the macaw whale hunters have killed their first gray whale in 75 years. Near their Nia Bay Reservation at the northwest tip of Washington State, the kill was confirmed by the Macaw police dispatcher Will Pace. The whale hunters in their carved wooden canoe left port very early on an outgoing tide. They harpooned the gray whale north of Cape Alava. According to the U.S. Coast Guard spokesman Jay Bigelow, the location of the kill is 15 miles south of Cape Flattery, the westernmost point in the lower 48 states. Protest boats were not at the scene of the whale kill. The Sea Shepherd Conservation Society ship Serenian, which has been monitoring the whale hunt, had to leave Sunday to refuel and pick up a replacement for an inflatable that was seized by the Coast Guard last Sunday. The whalers recovered the body of the gray whale and are taking it back to shore. Members of the Macaw Whaling Commission were not immediately available for comment. Paul Watson aboard the Serenian says he is headed towards Nia Bay. The Sea Shepherd ship is going to in to the Macaw Marina to make a gesture of protest against the kill. Watson says the kill was made by virtue of the U.S. Coast Guard having seized virtually all of the boats of whale activists who had effectively protected migrating whales from the assault of would-be whale hunters in Washington State since last October. The Coast Guard had three boats at the scene to guard the whalers who have a permit from the U.S. to kill up to five whales a year due to the treaty agreement with the U.S. government. today with speedboats, military weaponry, and the draconian assistance of the U.S. government in stifling all dissent, American whalers managed to blast a whale out of existence in American waters on the pretext of cultural privilege, said Watson. As far as we're concerned, Vice President Al Gore and the U.S. Coast Guard got their whale. Sea Shepherd Director Lisa DiStefano was arrested Saturday in Macabe and cited for criminal negligence. We were intercepting the whaling canoe, she said, from aboard the Serenian. We were accused of swamping it, but it was not overturned. On Saturday, the Coast Guard detained four protest vessels they say were operating negligently in the area where the macaw were whale hunting. Vessels still held pending investigation by the Coast Guard are a rigid hull inflatable from the Serenian, a 40-foot aluminum boat and a jet ski from the Sea Defense Alliance, and another 16-foot boat was released to its owner, whom the Coast Guard could not immediately identify. The operators were cited for unsafe operations of their vessels, and the two of the vessels cited for violation of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Because of protests May 11th and 15th, the captain of the port, Puget Sound, extended the area subject to the 500-yard moving exclusion zone around the macaw whaling boat. Boundaries of the new exclusion zone now apply to 13 nautical miles along the coast, extending 3 nautical miles out from the coastline. Last Friday, protesters and representatives from the Sea Shepherd, the Sea Defense Alliance, and the Progressive Animal Welfare Society converged on Seattle's Rainier Club, where President Bill Clinton was holding a fundraiser. They demonstrated against the Bill Clinton administration's decision to permit a hunt of the California gray whale in waters of Washington state. Signs in the crowd made such statements as, "Clinton, keep the blood out of your ocean," and "human sacrifice and slavery are a macaw tradition too." "Macaw whale hunting is payback for Native American vote, and forget Monica, it's the environment," Clinton screwed. Sea Shepherd and other whale protection advocates will now prevail upon Congress to amend the 1855 treaty with the macaw in order to bring it into compliance with current international conservation regulations. The International Whaling Commission will be pressed to right the wrong the Clinton administration has permitted within U.S. waters before additional offenses can occur. Other animal news. With the hunting of large whales banned in Japan, the Japanese are now slaughtering porpoises by the tens of thousands in a lucrative and underregulated trade that threatens at least one species, an environmental group alleged last Thursday. And farmers in eastern Washington, wheat farmers who have been fighting battles on several fronts lately, are taking on a new foe, a proposed petroleum pipeline that would cross the Cascades. And the extinct Tasmanian tiger could be resurrected using cloning technology after a perfectly preserved specimen was discovered. From China, we read that a Chinese police crackdown on poachers of endangered Tibetan antelopes has resulted in one poacher being killed, 2 wounded, 42 arrests, and the confiscation of more than 1,000 pieces of Tibetan antelope skin. In the middle of April to the middle of May, more than 200 police officers participated in the action. And airboat operations have caused widespread resource damage in Florida's Big Cypress National Preserve, reports the Florida Biodiversity Project. Airboats have killed mangroves, caused extensive soil rutting in marshes, and impacted wildlife and prevented other boaters and canoeists from enjoying the area. The impacted area is critical habitat for the manatee and 17 other endangered, threatened, or special concern species. The Big Cypress Swamp is one of the largest public land areas in the East and includes significant forest lands which were destroyed by logging in most of the Everglades. And the Minnesota Wolf Alliance is leading in the creation of an international wolf quilt, symbolizing the hope that humanity can coexist peacefully with a wolf in the new millennium. The group is seeking wolf supporters from around the world to express their sentiments about wolves by making a quilt square, which will be assembled into the quilt. For more information, contact the Alliance at 612-724-2399. That's 612-724-2399. Or check out their webpage at www.nnic.com/mnwolves. That's www.nnic.com/mnwolves. Yeah, let's move into California news here. We read that the National Park Conservation Association's continuing effort to battle developers who hope to build the world's largest landfill on the border of Joshua Tree National Park took a turn for the worse. On May 7th, a California State Court of Appeals issued a ruling favoring the developer's appeal of an earlier decision by a state judge. In that decision, based on a lawsuit brought by the National Park Conservation Association, had invalidated the developer's environmental impact report. The Eagle Mountain proposal involves reclaiming an old iron mine by constructing a dump for which would accommodate 20,000 tons of trash a day for 117 years. Surrounded on three states' sides by park wilderness, the landfill would significantly impact the pristine desert ecosystem, the threatened desert tortoise air quality, and would shatter the visitor's wilderness experience in the Mojave Desert. Also impacting the Mojave is loss of protection of the Mojave for mining. There is some proposed legislation which would transfer what are now BLM lands into private hands so that mines could be built in the desert. And in the early morning hours of Monday, May 17th, logging began early in violation of rules designated to protect soil and water quality in Oregon at the Eagle Timber Sales. According to the Eagle Record of Decision, there is a limited operating season required during peak sap flows and to protect soil and water resources. The second year in a row, the Forest Service has ignored these rules designed to promote soil and water quality. Logging began on April 28th in 1998. What good are rules if they are ignored, said Ivan Maluski of the Cascadia Forests Alliance. The Forest Service is already logging three times what their own scientists recommend in this sensitive drinking watershed. The Eagle Sales contain 500 acres of unprotected wilderness that groups such as the Oregon Natural Resources Council, Cascadia Forest Alliance, and the Oregon Wildlife Federation should be added to the adjacent Salmon Huckleberry Wilderness Area. On Friday, May 14th, a group of forest defenders announced they had been living 150 feet high in an old-growth grove slated for logging since last April. To prevent logging in the Eagle Timber Sales, in response, the Forest Service closed the road to the area to vehicular traffic last Friday. It is unclear whether the tree sitters have violated any laws. Law enforcement on the scene said they intended to block supplies intended for the canopy dwellers. And in other news, we read that our logging did actually begin there on Monday, May 17th. Several environmental groups that oppose old-growth logging this week filed a broad lawsuit aimed at protecting ancient forests across Oregon. According to the Environmental News Service, the litigants are the Cascadia Wildland Projects, the Santiam Watershed Guardians, the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center, and the American Lands Alliance. They filed suit on January 22nd covering old-growth sales in the Willamette and Mount Hood National Forests. And the new suit broadens the protection efforts and focuses on the Forest Service's failure to comply with an aquatic conservation strategy designed to protect water quality and the continued logging of old-growth forests on federal lands. Let's see here. Other news from Oregon. In a letter dated April 15th, Senator Ron Wyden and Congressman Peter DeFazio have asked Forest Service Chief Mike Dombeck to conduct mineral claims exams to determine whether NICOR has the right to mine the Rough and Ready Creek watershed. The congressional letter notes that the rights granted under the 1872 mining law hinge on the discovery of a valuable mineral that can be mined as a profit, and that by the Forest Service's own analysis, it is highly unlikely that NICOR's mining claims are valid and that a valuable mineral has been discovered. If you'd like to send your comments to Mike Dombeck and tell him that you aren't the only one who questions NICOR's rights, write to Mike.Dombeck, D-O-M-B-E-C-K, /W-O, at fs.fed.us. That's Mike.Dombeck, /W-O, at fs.fed.us. That's about all the time we have for news tonight. We'll have more news on Earth First Radio later on. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com. Or send your letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. For more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can hear Earth First Radio live on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 every Thursday at 8 p.m., or you can listen to this recorded portion of Earth First Radio on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. The number four is the number four. You'll need a sound card, but the software you need is free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast by a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations, including Free Radio Austin, just on the air. To ask your local stations to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced by Earth First Santa Cruz and is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thanks for listening. Tune into the next Earth First Radio show for more no-compromise news, views, poetry, and music. And now let's listen to some Dana Lyons off his CD Turn of the Wrench. This one's called TV God.
To love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to